The lies of the pro-Palestinian side in this war don't matter. The fabricated death toll, the imaginary famine, the highly unlikely to be true population figures, percentage of children under 18, women killed, none of that matters. What conflicts are judged on is the values. You judge them with the values held by the person judging and the values for which the sides of the war are fighting. And that, more than anything else, is what should scare you about the public reaction in the West, in Western countries, to the war that the Palestinians launched against Israel nearly 6 months ago. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 180 of the war in Israel. So Joe Rogan's values are hard to determine. I think he probably would struggle to determine to specify them even more than we will. But he has about a week ago finally found the time to or decided that it is the moment to declare that this is a genocide. Of course, we've heard the word genocide thrown around from basically very shortly after the Palestinians' attempt at an actual genocide, was stopped by Israeli armed forces. And since then, the claim that this is a genocide has grown. Now, if you look at Twitter, if you look at the comments section on some of our shows, the pro-Palestinian side cannot, complete a whole sentence without using that word. But yeah, the show on which Joe Rogan said it was its own special case in the kind of special needs sense of the word special. But James, I will go to your first thoughts on this, and then we're gonna play a short clip. We can probably sit through the whole 3 hours and not be completely bored, but also it's not the kind of content we're creating here.
Well, as objectivists, we know that so much of the thinking problems surrounding any important issue are conceptual. And Joe Rogan is obviously conceptually challenged. I think his sobriety is also challenged from what I can tell from this clip. Maybe we should just play the clip, but his judgment, the application of the term genocide is repulsive. It is not only factually false, it is not only conceptually corrupt, but it is morally despicable. To use a word like genocide and to make a comparison, as we were going to hear here, between the genocide that the Nazis perpetrated and accidental hitting of, and get this, Israel, there was that aid convoy, just a truck, I understand, it was hit. But you know the difference with Israel? They say that was a mistake. And if you can't distinguish between, first of all, self-defense and aggression, and if you can't distinguish between a mistake for which, I mean, in the history of warfare, very few defenders even take responsibility for their mistakes, for their mistakes. This is extraordinary that the Israeli government comes out and says, look, this was a mistake. We're sorry. First of all, there shouldn't have been aid trucks being allowed to go in the first place. It shouldn't be going on this long. It should have been wrapped up back in October. But given those realities, Israel comes forth and says, look, we didn't mean to do this. And to compare that in a self-defensive operation to genocide is morally repulsive.
Yeah, by the way, this Joe Rogan clip was before that, but there's attacks. Palestinians are killed daily, as happens in war, and pretty much every day we hear of any such incident as more proof of the genocide. So
Those things will happen in any war. That is inevitable. There will be misfirings. There will be bombs that land in the wrong place. There will be, as we say, quote, innocents killed in war. And it is the fault of the aggressor. All of it.
I have to say also, I have to disagree with you on one point. Don't blame the marijuana. Don't blame, any substance. His views are his because of the type of person
Marijuana
he
cannot
chose.
explain that kind of irrationality. I grant you. I grant you. This is conceptual and moral corruption.
Have we lost James, or have you lost me, Daniel? Can you still hear me?
James.
All right, then hopefully we can get James back quickly. And until we do you want to Well, until we do, let me thank Bonnie for the super
Gotcha.
chat.
Would you have to carry?
James, we lost you for like 20 seconds, and then we heard you for a few second or so, and now we can't hear you again. So if you want to maybe leave the call and come back, maybe that'll help. Should we play the clip? I assume James has already seen it. So, Daniel.
Like, look what's going on with Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro. Like, what did she say? I want to know what she was fired for. Because was it criticism of Israel? Was it, I mean, did she show that Edward Snowden video that he put up on Twitter that shows them
Oh, maybe.
drone bombing those kids that are those men, I should say, unarmed people that were walking towards the rubble?
All right. Yeah. Okay. We could. So it's great to defend somebody without actually knowing what they said. He starts with what did she say that she got fired for, but in a already defending her way. I mean, she says some pretty stupid things, not just about Israel. She's generally, we've said on this show, you know, somebody can be very intelligent and evil at the same time. That is not the case with Candace Owens. She is evil and very unintelligent. So, but he's defending her, and then of course he. It's interesting to see James. I don't know if you caught the, you, but I'm assuming you saw this clip before. But I don't know if you saw what we just showed, which is he's showing this killing of two men, and he automatically says kids. He then corrects himself to men. But that's kind of a thing with the narrative. The pro-Palestinian narrative is it's got to be women and children. Like if somebody dies, it's got to be women and children. It's got to be targeting, and it's there's this built-in kind of self-defeating argument there that I don't know how they don't notice, which is if Israel wanted to kill everybody in Gaza, that could have happened in a slow afternoon. And yet the numbers we hear, the more reliable numbers are that something like 17 or 18,000 people have died, 13,000 of whom are terrorists, which again I think shows that Israel is doing that is the most criminal thing Israel is doing, is sacrificing its own soldiers to avoid deaths of so-called civilians on the Palestinian side. But it definitely is unprecedented in warfare, and certainly in urban warfare.
Absolutely unprecedented. Israel has been more restrained than any other nation engaged in self-defensive military action than I can think of in human history. And to, I mean, it is despicable to think that this, that these people, what a mistake, everything is a target. So everything Israel does is on purpose in terms of killing the very people that are involved. But think of that. You can't make the distinction in your mind. These people are targeted. Targeted in his mind. And he can't make, as I say, none of the conceptual distinctions of relevance come to his mind here. And that kind of shows the depth of his, well, the depth, the shallowness of his conceptual thinking here, the lack of substance here. He's what he is he's su being sucked in to a media narrative, no doubt. And maybe it is because he wants to defend, you know, lame brain Candace Owen. And yeah. Stupidity and immorality aren't necessarily mutually exclusive categories.
Yeah, and I have to say that Joe Rogan, you know, he's had some very interesting podcasts, some very interesting guests. This comedian, sorry, I'm bad with names, but this comedian from that episode, I didn't find that interesting. But he does get sucked into whatever the other person is saying. He is kind of a you know, believer by default of some pretty weird shit. But yeah, and Michelle says in the chat, you know, that's not why she was fired anyway, regarding what Joe
Right.
Rogan said. And yeah, it doesn't matter. Again, the facts don't matter. What matters are some of the facts. For example, she criticized Israel, one fact. She was fired, another fact. Anything in between that, the fact that she's gone full on anti-Semitic, the fact that she's you know, making stuff up about like the wife of the president of France, and kind of stuff that, you know, you would think even the MAGA crowd would have gone over, you know, been over by this time. Yeah, none of that matters.
No.
I see somebody in the chat saying half of Gaza in rub is in rubble. Yeah, that's another problem. What about the other half? James, anything before we go to
Well,
the.
we were told that there were, what, a couple of million plus people in Gaza. We are now told by even Hamas's numbers that a tiny, tiny fraction, a very targeted tiny fraction, most of Gaza may be in rubble, but like you say, all of it should have been in total rubble within days of October 7th. Now, would that have meant more deaths on the Palestinian side? Absolutely. It's that restraint, of course, that Hamas and Iran are laughing at and only encourages more October 7th. The true genocidal intent, the explicit genocidal intent, is on Hamas's part. The actions on October 7th, the atrocities reveal a truly homicidal, genocidal, malicious intent on their part, or racist, genocidal, malicious intent on their part. And if you can't distinguish that when Israel is engaged in perfectly over-the-top restraint in their self-defensive actions, then I would say that your moral perspective on things is so dramatically warped that you can't see good from evil. But of course, that is the condition modern philosophy leaves us in. That's the result of this Kantian Christian view of turning the other cheek, this elevating of the Gandhi pacifism as the only correct response to aggression, as a moral ideal, and or cultural relativism as a moral ideal, as a epistemological guide. That is the upshot here. Joe Rogan is mentally warped by modern philosophy, and that's why he gets sucked into these media narratives, many of which are dubious. Yeah.
By the way, my inappropriately timed smile there, if anybody caught it, was because I was reading while you were saying something that should not be smiled at. I was reading Michelle's comment, 3 million baby journalists and 20 unicorns have been killed. That was right after the comment with hashtag Fafo. Yeah, that guy, that the Mr. Fafo is the, you know, this amazing like all arounder in Gaza. He's been I think he's been killed in attacks. He's been, you know, he ran around celebrating on October 7th. He ran around, he's running around rubble, and he's always there. He's really you know, kind of makes you question the law of identity, you know, in the sense that he seems to be in more than one place at one time.
Maybe it proves quantum mechanics is the most worst
Yeah.
interpretations or something. Yeah. See, that's it. You can't even square all the facts that they spew out against Israel. It doesn't even make consistent sense. But consistency isn't the strong point of the conceptually challenged.
Should we see some more not very strong points from this short clip that we have of that episode of Joe Rogan?
Like, look what's going on. Those men, I should say, unarmed people that were walking towards the rubble that
Yeah.
clearly weren't
Yeah.
causing any danger to anybody.
Yeah,
They just
right.
bombed them.
Yeah, no, it's your duty. It's just like for Biden or whoever you like, you're supposed to cover up for them because
But
you
the
have,
whole thing is,
yeah.
like, they're always saying they're only targeting Hamas and everybody else is a casualty. Well, if those guys are just unarmed civilians and they're walking alone, that's what they appear to be,
Dresden.
and you just
All right, all
blast
right.
them from.
All right. So first of all, you know, whenever I see this aerial footage, one of the things that I really struggle with is understanding what's going on. But Joe Rogan knows everything that there is to know. Not only that they're unarmed, but also that they're not in any way potentially harmful, that there's no intelligence that they might be actually on their way to or from committing some sort of attack on Israelis. He knows all there is to know. This Kurt Metzger guy, the other guy, you know, shouting out the word Dresden. First of all, Dresden was the right thing to do.
Yeah, Dresden is not a war crime and was
Yeah.
not genocide, and
And
it was nothing to do with an intent to wipe out the German people. Was trying to eliminate the Nazi regime. Did civilians get killed? Yeah, and it's an important thing to bear in mind. Civilians will and must get killed in an act of self-defense like this.
But the thing with this Kurt Metzger guy, I don't know. There was smoke going up around him. Maybe in his case, there was some. I don't know if he can form complete sentences when he's not smoking weed. But shouting out Dresden, it's not even a. Yeah, it shows again. It shows the values of the person, because if you think Dresden was wrong, you essentially think that crushing the spirit of the people who let the Nazi regime represent them was the bad thing to do. But also, this exact footage is exactly not what Dresden was. It was not specifically targeting people. It was carpet bombing.
Exactly. I mean, insane, insane, the comparison. The factual distinctions are completely lost here. And besides, at the end of World War II, Germany was still fighting, mounting counteroffensives long after D-Day, long after the Allies had taken France back. The Nazis are still fighting for their lives. You're telling me that in the course of the World War II, something like Dresden wasn't absolutely necessary in terms of destroying the German war machine? Or think of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Is he going to call those war crimes too? Because they almost certainly saved lives. And as we pointed out in earlier episode, excellent episode with Morgan, by the way, on Japan and the lessons it gives us, was done earlier on our show. But it helped correct a situation. And look at Japan today. If we ever hope to change the situation with the Islamist mentality of the Palestinians, we're going to have to do something that dramatic, psychologically that crushing, and we're just going to have to get over it, okay? They caused it. Their culture is so corrupt as to require it. It's not Israel's doing. You're absolutely right. He's certain that they're unarmed. He's certain it was just intentional targeting of unarmed people. In his mind, he's absolutely certain that they were targeted because they were unarmed and just there.
It took him a second to realize whether or not they're children or men, but... but everything else he is certain about. And there's a reason why these people are certain about things. It's because, you know, they see one side being Israel and having the technology to do stuff like that, and the other side being the Palestinians. And he talked, I don't remember if this is in the clip that we're showing now, but it was said in the show, like, they're so poor. You know, yeah, they're poor because all their resources are focused not towards you know, human flourishing. They're focused towards the destruction of human life.
Their poverty is the fault of themselves, of Hamas. Palestinians are not congenitally disabled as a population. Hamas has ruled that place for the last 17, 18 years. And if we cannot say, look, they started lobbing missiles, the rockets, the minute they took power, within weeks of Hamas taking power, what was this, 18, 17 years ago? They took, within weeks, they started lobbing rockets rather than do anything to make the lives of their own people better. No, all of the suffering over the last several years has been Hamas's fault. They have been causing their own people's misery strategically, and dumb fucks like Joe Rogan get sucked into the Hamas narrative and uncritically repeat they are the useful idiots of Hamas. Joe Rogan, you are a useful idiot for the atrocities of October 7th and the people who pulled it off, and their strategy to use their own people as victims, holding a gun to their own people's head, and you are sucked into that very narrative. No. The poverty of the Palestinians in Gaza is the fault of Hamas, 100%.
Yeah,
just Michelle, right there.
Michelle, by the way, Michelle is a de facto third panelist on this show today, but she says he just didn't want to misgender them. That's why he said, I don't know. Yeah, and we do know that the transgender movement is big in Gaza. So
thank you for giving me such a tickle, Michelle. You've at least letting me smile on something so horrific as someone saying that every single, it is true, as I said, I started this with, because there is in the news right now that aid truck that got hit. Things like that are going to happen, but they're accidents, Joe. In this case, you don't know that they were unarmed and targeted because they were unarmed and just walking there, as he says. His whole perspective on warfare is completely warped. No one could engage in a rational defensive war on the standard that Joe Rogan articulates through this cloud of marijuana smoke.
Well, we're about to turn that smile upside down and watch a little bit more of Joe Rogan.
Walking alone, that's what they appear to be.
Dresden.
And you just blast them from the sky with robots.
This is the tragedy of war.
Yeah, this is insane. And no one knows what to think now, because if you can't talk about that, if you can't say that's real, then you're saying that genocide is okay as long as we're doing it. And
that is what we're saying.
And if you're saying that from the perspective of someone who...
Can we see there? It's not enough for them to parrot the line given to them by the people who committed the atrocities on October 7th. They also have to put words into the mouth of the Israel, the victim in this war, the victim that's trying to defend itself. And the words that are putting in Israel's mouth happen to be the same words that they themselves speak. So that's an interesting way of doing things.
How ironic. We, the defenders of Israel, are talking about it, Joe. I mean, the thing is, we are happy to have that conversation. It is Hamas that evades facts. It is the Western media that accepts Hamas's twisted perspective on things. Wow. This is... it's not only moral corruption on his part in his inability to see this. It is epistemological corruption on his part. I mean, is this really the depth, the sloppy nature of the way he thinks? I mean, it's astonishing to me. No wonder he gets sucked into BS, internet crap. I mean, the man's judgment is seriously in question. I don't know. The marijuana cannot explain it, obviously. I'm just joking about that. But you have to bring a degree of epistemological and moral corruption to it in order to even let those words, Israel is engaged in genocide themselves, out of your mouth.
Thank you, Wes, for the super chat. Have you ever seen that show, Drunk History?
Yes.
So this is basically Stoned Present, I think.
Best
name for the...
Joe Rogan
experience. Joe.
No, except on Drunk History.
As long as you pay me, a nice a cut, you can use that title.
As a historian, I have to say, on Drunk History, they often had a real point. Not always, but they often had a real point they were making. Here, Joe Rogan, with his high journalism, is not making a valid point of any kind. He's only confusing the issue. And in a disgusting, immoral way, frankly.
Yeah, that's the thing. Drunk History was also entertaining. And that was the point of it. It was informative and entertaining. This is really neither, except it informs us of how we should judge these two characters. Let's play some more of the clip.
We're saying,
and if you're saying that from a perspective of someone who literally went through the Holocaust, or your people, your tribe went through the fucking Holocaust, and now you're willing to do it?
I hope the irony's not lost on you.
It's so nuts. It's so hard.
Yeah. All right. We might. It's a very short clip. We might not make it through the whole thing. But that, I think, is the point where if you're struggling to decide whether to judge the two characters or the dispensary from which they got what they were smoking. I at this point, I think it's there is no excuse, because they are actually saying they are saying that this is like the Holocaust. This is like the Holocaust.
I don't recall Joe Rogan comparing October 7th to the Nazis, which actually makes a better comparison. A racist, genocidally intended set of atrocities, unprovoked aggression that involved. And a true genocidal intent, absolutely vile atrocities, racist in its motivation. I mean, October 7th is genocide, Joe. Okay? Clear your eyes. Cough out that smoke. Think. And to compare it to the Nazis. And that's literally what he did. This isn't October 7th. He's comparing what Israel is doing in Gaza today to Auschwitz. To Auschwitz. To medical experimentation on children. I'm always the one in the grim spot of giving the details on October 7th or giving grim details on Nazi atrocities. But bear in mind, that's what he just did. He compared Auschwitz to what Israel is doing in reasonable self-defense. Way too unreasonable in how restrained it is, frankly. This should have been wrapped up back in October. That's the only fault I find with Israel, is how weak their responses, how much they pay attention to America and the international community and worry about it. That's where Israel is screwing up. This is to think of it in terms of even comparing it to to what Hitler did to the Jews is disgusting. Just disgusting.
Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Robert says these bastitches, that's how you pronounce it. That's bastards and bitches in the same word, right? Unless it has a meaning that I don't know about. These bastitches imagine that somehow war can be fought between soldiers alone, with only soldiers being at risk, a dystopian fiction sci-fi war game. Yes, and even that is a generous thing to say, because do they really imagine that, or do they know what Hamas did on October 7th? And Hamas targeted soldiers basically only to get them out of the way so that they can get to their real targets, right, which were the civilians.
No, the plan all along was to get to as many civilians, to get to the kibbutzes, to get to that music festival. They wanted to target civilians. They wanted to burn babies. They wanted to rape children to death. They wanted to stab and mutilate people as they were raping them. No, that's what's going on. And I hate to do that to people, to keep reminding them of the facts. But that is what cannot be morally justified. That is the sick disease that needs to be wiped out. And until we get to the root of that, ladies and gentlemen, October 7th will continue. Joe Rogan is mouthing lines that will ensure more October 7ths. Any further restraint on the part of Israel will guarantee more October 7ths, and that's what he's calling for. Dumbass who, without knowing it, will have blood on his hands. How about blaming America for financially supporting Iran, for appeasing Iran under Joe Biden, helping to make this coordinated, systematic set of attacks from Iran in recent months possible? I'm sorry. The genocidal intent is clear. It's on the Islamist monsters.
Thank you, Robert, for another super chat. Robert says, Rogan, fucking crybully. Why does war have to involve so much death and destruction? Surely that's not what Hamas intended 179 days ago, right? Well, yeah, there's barely a mention of Hamas, although I haven't seen the whole 3 hours of it. You know, I'm sure that will be a great way to spend time. Speaking of which, we only have a couple of minutes left, so what better way to spend them than with a little bit more of Joe Rogan and Kurt Metzger?
It's so nuts. It's so hard to imagine that someone where a culture, like a country, was like officially founded in what, 47?
48.
48? Okay. Officially founded. So that's so recent. and you guys are willing to do what was done to you that led you to believe that you needed to start your own country? You're willing to do that, at least on a small scale, in Gaza? Like, there's nothing left.
Unfortunately, there's a bunch left. Unfortunately, 98% of the population is still all intact. And whatever suffering they're enduring is the result of their own actions. It's insane.
By the way, it's interesting that when he's saying this, he's showing pictures of some, you know, rubble, you know, some buildings that are still standing, but don't look really inhabitable. Not in great condition, although if you look at the way they build in Gaza, they were never in great condition. You know, when you look at imagery from the Holocaust, that's not what you see. You see piles of bodies. You see those who survived being, you know, barely there. They're skeletons. With the famine blood libel that we've been hearing in recent weeks, They can't find pictures of kids. You know, there was that BBC story where they had a kid who had a disease that made him look like he's starving, because they couldn't find a single picture of an actual starving child to put in their blood libel story. So, yeah, you know, a picture is not an argument, as Leonard Peikoff said, but they even can't find pictures to support their bad arguments. Any parting words, James, before we wrap up?
Go do yourself a favor, Joe Rogan, and learn a few facts. Learn the difference between a real genocidal intent and real genocidal actions and what Israel is doing here, sir. My only thought is that people who can't make these sort of distinctions, you know, in a way, I would say No, I wouldn't want it to happen on their own hides. But frankly, it may require he may be, in a sense, that's the kind of blindness that gets it on your own hide, and in a sense merits it. So, Joe Rogan, let's hope you never have to learn these distinctions for yourself with your loved ones, Mr. Rogan. But go learn a few facts of history and learn a few moral distinctions before you open your stupid mouth, Mr. Rogan.
Christian Klein says in the chat, Joe Rogan needs to take heroin to have an excuse for such bullshit. Great line. Great way to wrap up the show. We're going to talk about the incident with the aid convoy in the reality show, which is starting about a minute after this show ends. Thank you, James. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like, comment, share, and, of course, subscribe if you're not subscribed. And we will see you on the reality show.
Be safe.